This talk is offered by Ordinary Mind Zendo. Ordinary Mind was founded by Barry Magid, Dharma heir of Charlotte Joko Beck, and is dedicated to her vision of a psychologically minded Zen practice adapted to the needs of American students practicing in the context of their everyday lives. Our public programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
The Gateless Barrier, Case 31. Chao Chu investigates the old woman. A monk asked an old woman, "What is the way to Mount Tai?" The old woman said, "Go straight ahead." When the monk had proceeded a few steps, she said, "A good, respectable monk, but he too goes off like that." When Chao Chu heard about this, he said, "Hold on, I'll go investigate that old woman thoroughly for you." Next day, Chao Chu went and asked her the same question, and she replied in the same way. He returned and announced to his assembly, "I have investigated and seen through that old woman of Mount Tai for you." Now the story here is evidently of monks on pilgrimages going off to Mount Tai, where there's a shrine for Manjushri, stopping off at a tea shop run by an old woman asking for directions. And they get more than they bargained for. And we can say that this koan has two parts to it. One is first understanding what the old woman is saying to the monks when she says, "Go straight ahead." And that part is relatively clear, maybe difficult to realize, but what she's up to, it seems clear. But what Joshu is doing when he goes to investigate her and gets asked the same question and gets the same response, the point he's making is subtler and not so clear. So we start with the old woman. I think it's... We would all sort of see that when the monks are going on pilgrimage asking, "How do I get to Manjushri?" they're being set up in a pretty classic manner for someone to say to them, "What you're looking for isn't someplace else, it's right here." Right? How do you get to Mount Tai? You're already standing on the peak. Where do you think you're going? Right? I think that's a common enough trope in a lot of Zen stories, the idea that you can't look outside of yourself for the thing that you're looking for. You have to find a way to embody it. It's easy enough to say, it's not so easy to do, but it's the point of koans from Mu on, that you yourself have to become the thing that you think is missing. Now, we might add a modern twist to that interpretation by trying to be a little more psychologically minded about what kind of pilgrimage are you actually on. And that was one of the themes of Ending the Pursuit of Happiness. Where do you think you're going? What do you think you're after? It's not enough to just tell people, this is it. Each of us, in a way, has to investigate personally what we think is missing in us, what we think we're after in our own personal quest. And these monks are on a pilgrimage to the shrine of Manjushri, the Bodhisattva of wisdom, who, if you want to meet Manjushri, you just go downstairs and he's sitting on a lion and you can pay your respects. The difficulty is that we may say we're in pursuit of wisdom or enlightenment or something abstract and spiritual sounding, but what we all really want tends to be something a lot less high-minded, and I probably don't have to fill in the blanks for you anymore. You get the idea. So before we are too quick to say, simply go straight ahead or say, this is it, we need to take that extra step of psychological honesty and try to ask ourselves, where do you really think you're going? What are you in this for? What are you after? That brings us then to Chao Chu, who goes to meet the old lady, and the scenario for him is exactly the same as for his monks. Yet something is different. He says, I've investigated her thoroughly. And in the implication is that there's a level in which he has seen through her, or seen beyond what she is chastising these monks about. Chao Chu presumably already knows he doesn't have to go on a long pilgrimage to meet Manjushri. And yet, the old lady says, oh, he goes on just like everybody else. And he lets her say it. There is no dramatic comeback or one-upsmanship here, right? He allows himself to be given the same line all the ordinary monks are given. And that's very important. He allows himself, in a sense, to simply walk into the trap. Right? Allows himself to make the same mistake that all the ordinary people are making. One way I think about that is the saying, a Zen master's life is one mistake after another. What does that mean? Well, one thing is that as soon as you begin to teach, as soon as you open your mouth, you're colluding with the student's assumption that you've got it and they don't. You're enacting a role that says, there's something they're missing. There's something I've got. I've got something to teach you. As soon as you start talking, you violate the silence with words. you, in a certain sense, contaminate the absolute by trying to put it into concepts and language and stories, right? The thing is that you can't help make these mistakes if you're going to function, if you're going to serve any kind of purpose at all, if you're going to in any way function compassionately or get anyone to realize their situation, you're going to have to get down in the mud with them, right? You're going to have to find ways to express what ought not need to be expressed. You have to enter the realm of mistakes in order to undo mistakes. As someone said, in order to be part of the solution, you first have to be part of the problem. You have to enter into that, the world at that level. So what Joshu is doing, the way he's seeing through the old lady, is saying, yep, that what you're saying is perfectly true from the perspective of the absolute. Can't argue with it. But you also can't live there full time. Or if you do, you're going to be a one-trick pony, right? You're going to do the, you're going to say the, hit the same note over and over again. It's a good trick. It's a good note, right? The monks need it. Everybody's got to go through that door for themselves once. But in a certain sense, you're in danger of setting yourself up by a revolving door and going around and around the same thing, saying that there's only this one lesson. See, and there are lots of ways in which we have to see what's the proper lesson to apply. You can't really say the lesson of this is it is a one size fits all solution. See, if your house is burning down, you can stand there and say, everything is impermanent, there is no control in this life, everything passes away, and you can just watch it burn. And if you have no choice, if you're really helpless in the face of the fire, it's probably good to be able to take that perspective. But it might also be good to call the fire department if you have the chance. When we think about climate change, it's perfectly true to say everything passes away. The human race, this planet, everything is going to go, right? You're not going to preserve anything for all time. You know, the dinosaurs have become extinct. Pretty soon it's going to be our turn. And they had a lot longer run than we're likely to, right? A legitimate perspective, you know, say everything is impermanent and you just embrace that perspective. On the other hand, if you have the opportunity, perhaps there's something you can do about it in the meantime. There are times when we have to be able to simply stand our ground, say, this is it. There's no place to go, nothing to get to. We're already here. And there are times where we have to say, we need a goal, we need a response. We need to go straight ahead.